And one thing that he learned from his own calling and from the miraculous conversion of his mentor was the tremendous mercy of the living God. In fact, his gospel is known as the gospel of mercy because St. Luke emphasizes that merciful attribute of the Lord in a very unique way. Only in his gospel do we hear the songs of Zechariah and of Our Lady who sing of the mercies of God in Luke chapter 1. Only in his gospel do we hear our Lord recount the parables of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 and the good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, parables which speak of the mercy which God has towards us and which we must have towards others. Only in St. Luke's gospel do we hear the rich man Dives cry out to Abraham to have mercy on him, only to be refused mercy because Dives himself was not merciful to Lazarus during his lifetime. We see that in Luke chapter 16. Only in St. Luke's gospel do we hear of the religious, self-righteous Pharisee praying in the temple and the tax collector standing afar off, also praying, who couldn't even raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Luke 18, verse 13. And we know that it was the tax collector who received God's pardon, not the Pharisee. And it's in St. Luke's gospel where Jesus explicitly tells us, quote, "Be merciful even as your heavenly Father is merciful." Luke chapter 6, verse 36. It's a variation on what our Lord said in St. Matthew's gospel when he said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And that was Matthew 5, verse 48. But here, in St. Luke's gospel, perfection is presented under the divine attribute of mercy. In our day and age, the banner of God's mercy has been proclaimed in a particular way through the works and through the apostolate of St. Faustina Kowalska, the apostle of divine mercy, through Pope John Paul II, who instituted the Feast of Divine Mercy in the year 2000, and also through Pope Francis, who inaugurated an extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy in December of 2015, which extended throughout the entire year of 2016. The official logo of that year of mercy in 2016 was designed by a Jesuit father named Marco Rupnik, and he depicts Jesus in the logo as the Good Samaritan, carrying on his shoulders the wounded Adam, a symbol of our wounded humanity, just as a shepherd carries the wounded sheep on his shoulders. In the logo, those two figures of the wounded man and of Christ actually have only three eyes, if you ever look closely at that logo. Where their faces meet, where their faces touch, they share only one eye. And that's to show how Christ himself took on our humanity to become one of us and to become one with us and to identify it with us in our miseries as well. And it's also a very clever way, and it depicts what it means to have a spirit of mercy and a heart of mercy and to have eyes of mercy towards others. To have a heart of mercy is to be able to have a spirit of compassion and empathy and understanding towards those who are hurting, towards those who are suffering, towards those who are wounded, either because of their own sins or because of the sins of others. Someone who has eyes of mercy and a heart of mercy is able to put themselves in other people's shoes, and they desire mercy as well, mercy for all sinners, and mercy and grace for sinners, just as they themselves have received mercy and grace from the Heavenly Father. That's why they try to see things from the eyes of the other person, and that's why Jesus and the wounded man share that one eye together in the painting of Father Rupnik. And learning to have a heart of mercy is not, as we know, it's not an option for those who claim to be followers of Christ. As the Apostle St. James says in his New Testament letter, he says, "Judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has not shown mercy, for mercy triumphs over judgment," James 2, verse 13. So just as truth without charity is unbearable, so too being religious without being merciful is unbearable, and it's not Christ-like. And even though, surprisingly, it's not found in St. Luke's gospel, we can repeat here the words of our Lord when he says, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice," Matthew 9, verse 13, and it's repeated again in Matthew 12, verse 7. St. Luke understood the meaning of God's mercy, and for him there was no conflict between mercy or justice, or between truth or charity, for that matter. For those of us who don't know how to hold these virtues together, perhaps we should ask St. Luke to intercede for us and help us on that matter. Certainly a good step towards that is learning how to identify, unify truth and charity and mercy and justice is by simply putting into practice, for example, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Putting into practice all of them, maybe we're more comfortable with doing some than others, but if you put them all into practice, we can begin to see how these different virtues and how these different attributes all go together. And also, as a practical thing, we should learn to not always focus on the negative in others and learn to interpret what others do and what others say in a spirit of charity, in a spirit of mercy. When we don't do that, more often than not, what are we doing? Well, more often than not, we're focusing on ourselves rather than on focusing on being Christ-like. And becoming self-focused and self-righteous is not a recipe for spiritual health. It's a recipe for spiritual disaster. And so we should also learn and turn to Our Lady today and ask her, the Mother of Mercy, ask her to teach us, to help us have a mercy, a spirit of mercy, and a heart of mercy towards everyone, especially sinners, and especially towards those people in our home and those people who we work and interact with every day, because seeing the face of God's mercy in us will bring many more people to the Lord than we might expect. Now, in tomorrow's homily, we'll give an example of what we'll call misguided mercy, just to illustrate how God's mercy can be distorted and deformed by those who refer to themselves as Catholics, but in practice, they show that they're not following the steps of their master. Praise be Jesus and Mary.